Welcome to this week's episode of Mount Ararat Podcast. Please subscribe to the channel. It really helps us out. Just click that red subscribe button, log in, and give us your support. Click the bell if you want notifications anytime we upload anything here on the channel. And if you would, share the videos on Reddit, on Facebook, on Twitter. Help get the word out, not about me, but about Pro Wrestling Noah. Wrestling done right. I thank you for your support. Now let's get to the desk and start this week's show. Hey guys, welcome back to Mount Ararat Podcast, episode 16. I'm your host, as always, Adam Lavelle of the Noah Network. All the links you need to follow me and Pro Wrestling Noah will always be found at WrestlingDoneRight.com. Let's jump right into this, shall we? What a great card we had here on May 30th. Now, that is still today when I'm filming this, so it's still fresh in my mind, although I got some notes, of course. This is from, I don't know if I can say this right, Club Sita in Kawasaki. It's a Noah's special arena. It's kind of a small place, so it's fairly easy for them to sell out, and it was sold out with a little under 200 people. We're not going to go into numbers of fans with Pro Wrestling Noah. That's not what I do. I said that on the last episode, I'm going to say it again, because occasionally I'll run into people who want to try to make it that with me. Like, well, Noah would get bigger crowds if they didn't put their titles on old men and whatever else the nonsense is. Look, I don't care. For me personally, and for anybody watching this, likely, Pro Wrestling Noah is the greatest wrestling in the world if they only draw a crowd of 10. Really doesn't matter to me. Now, in regard to them needing money and support, of course I understand all that shit. I get it. But I'm not really going into it. It's here, it exists, and as long as it does, I'm going to continue to argue that there's no better wrestling on earth, no matter how many people watch it, no matter how many people buy a ticket. That doesn't matter to me in regard to what I like. Again, I'm smart enough to understand why it's important financially and all that crap. But as long as it exists and it's here, it doesn't matter to me. Simple as that. So let's jump right into this sellout show with match one, which was Yoshiki Inamura taking on Kazusada Higuchi from DDT. This match was very interesting. Pretty much you could say it was a sumo style match, if you will. Not completely, but both of them getting into the sumo stance, you know, before charging at each other full bore in this Boot of the Woods match. That's pretty much was the style of this match. These guys just traded forearms. They traded body slams. They traded, you know, shoulder blocks. It was just a battle to see who could knock the other one down and how many times. Most of the time, neither of them could knock the other one down. When they did, they would get right back up and start their body blocking, their chops and their slams and their forearms all over again. Now, I can understand how a lot of people watching this or who would watch it might say, well, that was boring, or there wasn't enough substance there. And I don't want to be a hypocrite, because I have seen matches out there from other companies, okay? For example, I don't like talking about other companies here. I really don't. I watched Samoa Joe versus Suzuki on AEW. I do not watch AEW programming, but once in a while there'll be a match that I'll think, I'll check that out. And I hated it. All they did was chop each other all match long. That's what Minoru Suzuki's turning into, a chop master. You know, he's just going to come in there, throw forearms and chops and nothing else, or very little else. He might throw, you know, drop toe hold here or there or something. But for the most part, I don't enjoy Minoru Suzuki's matches anymore. But that's okay, because I don't hardly watch anything other than Pro Wrestling Noah. I will watch a match here, a match there, like I said, from any company, except DDT, and we'll get to that later, if it looks interesting. And if I have the time, which often I don't. But this match was better than what Minoru Suzuki's doing lately, just by a smidgen. But I understood what this match was going in. I understood that it was going to be a sumo-style battle of these guys just trying to knock the other one backward, trying to knock the other one down, because both of these guys were trained in sumo, and they want to go in there and they want to show that they can use those skills to take out and defeat the other one. So this went to the whole 15-minute time limit with them attempting to do that.
It was just two big guys that I respect. I do not know this DDT guy and probably never will as long as he stays in DDT, this Higuchi guy. What I saw here, he came out to a song that sounded like a movie villain song or something, and he looks sort of like a Japanese movie villain, if you will. Yeah, I like his look, and I like the role he seems to fill here, at least when he's here in NOAH. And so I will look forward to these two facing off again. And if it's this style of match, I can live with it. It doesn't make me jump up and down, but it's not terrible. It's very interesting for what it is. They're going to face off in a tag team match, so they're not going to be able to do nothing but this in the next match. So that will be interesting. But this was a decent way to kick off this show, a 15-minute draw between two big guys just smashing into each other as hard as they could for 15 minutes. Second match of the night from May 30th, NOAH's card, was totally opposite of the first match as Yohei and Extreme Tiger teamed up to take on NOAH Junior regulars Hal and Alejandro. Now, first thing I'll say, and I've been saying this, is that there is something special between Yohei and Extreme Tiger. They really, from the first time they teamed together, they have something clicks, something works. First of all, if a tag team works, it's communication. That's the number one thing in tag team wrestling, is the partner's ability to communicate with each other. And I don't mean just speaking. I mean in non-verbal ways, being able to know how the other one works, what the other one's going to do, what the other one wants to do, where the other one's going to be at certain times. That they just have it. There's something special that they have. Now, that's taking nothing away from the NOAH Junior regulars like Hal and Alejandro, but while they work and train together all the time and practically live together, the NOAH Junior regulars I'm talking about, all of them, their hodgepodge of teams never get a chance to gel, typically. I mean, how often has Hal and Alejandro worked together in a two-on-two tag team match? I don't think very often. And I think that made the difference here. It was a very solid match. It was a very good match. It went back and forth. Hal and Alejandro looked better than they had any right to look as a tag team. But they're not going to overcome a team that, while not a lot of experience, they just have something special. I think Alejandro has it with his brother, Kai Fujimura. And while the chemistry wasn't completely off with Alejandro and Hal, it wasn't the same. And I believe that's what cost them the match here when Yohei gets the win over Hal. And I think that's two losses in a row for Hal, who had been on a pretty impressive streak of winning. But ever since beating his former partner, Hiroki, formerly known as Neho, I'm not here to say Hal has looked bad, but he's definitely on a little bit of a backslide as of late, going down here, giving the win to Yohei and Extreme Tiger. And there's now murmurings of people, fans, and maybe some wrestlers, from what I'm hearing and understanding, that are wondering if Extreme Tiger and Yohei are on their way to challenging for the junior heavyweight tag titles. We'll have to wait and see if that's the case. Match 3 was my match of the night. I love this match. Excuse me. This tag team, Michael Elgin and Masa Kitamiya. I threw out a name there for them. They're probably not going to pick it, and that's fine. Not that I expect them to be like, ooh, let's use that name that Will came up with. But Retribution, what did I call it? Retribution Renegade Connection. I'm thinking of the Miracle Violence Connection, you know, that awesome team back in the day of Dr. Dusty Williams and Terry Bam Bam Gordy, the Miracle Violence Connection. I was thinking of something like that, like the Retribution Renegade, or you know, I can't even remember if that's exactly what I named them or the name I suggested, but I know Retribution was in there because I'm thinking of Michael Elgin, who is getting Retribution as we speak, or Retribution Rampage. Maybe that's what it was. It was something like that, like RRC. You could be the Retribution Rampage Express, then you could be the R&R Express. Just kidding. But no, Michael Elgin. And I went off on a tangent on the last podcast, and I promise you guys I'm trying not to do that, but I get so fed up. Even when I see write-ups, you know, the smallest blurb about any match on people's write-ups are always Michael Elgin and Masa Kitamiya's matches, because they're so offended by a guy who's proven himself innocent that it's ridiculous. But when I did put this out there on Twitter today, or was it yesterday, within the last 24 hours, about how sick of it I am of people not giving Michael Elgin a fair shake, I got a lot of support. I got a lot of likes, and I got some retweets. Michael Elgin was on there speaking about it. And hey, Mike, if you're game, brother, and you watch this show, and I think you do, please feel free. Let's jump on one of these shows and talk, all right, if you're willing. If you don't have time, believe me, nobody understands the lack of time like me. I work like a dog, and I got to squeeze these shows in when I can. But if we ever could get together, maybe with a video thing, it only has to be 5 minutes or so, if that's cool. But I would love to have you on here. I've been one of your biggest supporters. Anyhow, this match deserved a lot more coverage than the people who recap these shows, and there aren't many of them, are giving it. Because, look, Elgin and Kitamiya look unstoppable. They look unstoppable. And here they faced a very capable Simon Gotch and Kenya Okada. I thought Okada and Gotch gelled just as well as Yohei and Extreme Tiger do, in a different way, but I do. I think Kenya Okada and Simon Gotch could be an excellent tag team. Now, I don't see them beating Elgin and Kitamiya, but I could, maybe one day down the line, but I think they need to start working together. I think it would work. Simon Gotch at one point had Masa Kitamiya in a headlock down on the mat and actually used his own foot, like reached back, grabbed his own foot, and was making his foot stretch up and hit Masa Kitamiya in the head. Pretty unique stuff there from Simon Gotch. And I like Simon Gotch. I've said on here that he really needs, in my opinion, really could be a part of Stinger. I think that would work. I don't know if they're going to do that, but personally, I really believe it would work. This match was very strong. I love how Kenya Okada stood there toe-to-toe with Michael Elgin, and Michael Elgin overcame him eventually. But all match long, Kenya Okada did not back down, and he laid some serious kicks. You know his kicks with those oak tree-sized legs into Michael Elgin's sternum, knocking him down on more than one occasion, knocking him backwards many occasions. This kid has got it. He's a legit deal. He could slide right in there with guys like Masa Kitamiya and Michael Elgin as he moves up the rankings of NOAH as well. He's just that type of worker, and that's just his style, and I love him for it. I can't wait for Kenya Okada to really break out and be a major name in pro wrestling NOAH. The day's coming. I say this every episode, and every episode it's not yet, but it's still coming. I guarantee you're waiting on Jesus to come back. It'll happen. You're waiting on Kenya Okada to become a star. It's going to happen. But it didn't happen here. He gets pinned by Michael Elgin after a huge buckle bomb. And then the Elgin powerbomb, the Elgin bomb, just put him down 1, 2, 3, as it would anybody who takes that maneuver. Your GHC Heavyweight Tag Team Champions, bow down, bitches, as I like to say. They should be getting a lot more press because they are badass. They are kick-ass. They are everything that is great about wrestling and tag team wrestling. I really believe they could elevate themselves to the level of the Miracle Violence Connection, to the Steiner Brothers, to some of the most terrific tag teams we've ever seen in wrestling. I don't know if they'll stay together that long enough to do that, because I'm certain Michael Elgin wants single gold, as does Kitamiya, so probably not. But I think they have the makings of a team that could be just as big and just as cool as anyone we've had throughout history. Now, Stan Hansen and Bruiser Brody, that's the epitome to me, so I'm not saying that. But I believe they could be huge stars in the tag division. I'd argue that they kind of are already. All of you know it. Just pull your head out of your ass and talk about a guy. Look, if there's somebody, I don't like Kendo Cashin. I don't like his matches. I don't like his comedy. I hated this guy that we're going to talk about later from NOAH. They despised him, like the Mountie of pro wrestling. Not NOAH, of DDT, I'm sorry. That guy, like the Mountie from DDT or something, the gothic-looking Mountie with the cattle prod. But I'll tell you, and I'll still review their matches fairly, as you're going to see later on. And the rest of you need to do that too. Stop being a little dick and come out and talk about this tag team the way they deserve to be talked about. Or don't, and leave it to me, the most honest guy in all of pro wrestling journalism. And I challenge you to look into that. I am. I don't do near as much in the pro wrestling journalism world as I used to. I used to work like a dog the way I work at my shoot job now. I mean, traveling to multiple different states to cover matches and do podcasts live on the scene at many different venues like the Monster Factory, like Evolve Pro Wrestling, like MCW Pro Wrestling. I have done it all over the place. House of Glory Wrestling. I have been there. I have done my shows there. I have gone live on Facebook there. And I'm always fair, and I'm always honest. It's what gets me not liked by people, because if I think something's shit, I'll say it was shit. And if I think something was awesome, I'll say it was awesome. And if I think a wrestler is great, I'll say he's great. And if I think he's a yarder with no skill, I'll say that too. And I don't care who likes it. That's why I've worked for numerous, about what is it, about 10 or 11 different wrestling companies throughout my life. And the reason I don't stay on with those companies, well, they're multiple. Sometimes they just don't pay me enough. And I know they can't. I know these small companies can't make that my regular job. But most of the time, it's because I'm just too honest. And I've walked away because they want me to put certain matches over, or they want me to put certain wrestlers over. And I can't do it because I can't not be honest. If I'm watching a team, a wrestler, or a match, and it's bad, I need to say that. I need to. Now, if you pay me Jim Ross money, I could probably put shit over. I'd feel guilty for it, and I couldn't do it for just anybody. But if I was making enough money that this was my living, I could squirm in my chair as I put some shit over that I knew was shit. But I'm never paid that amount, so I'm never going to do it. That's why I'm the most honest man in all of wrestling journalism. And this match was great. You need to talk about it. Elgin and Masekit Tamia with a big win. They are the best tag team in wrestling right now, in my opinion. Absolutely. Fourth match of the night from Noah's May 30th show. Yes, we are still talking about Noah Sanctuary and some great matches. But the fourth one was Junta Miyawaki send-off match. He is on his way to Mexico, where he will spend time in excursion getting better as a professional wrestler. He just had his last dojo match that I covered here on this channel. Noah the Home. There were two shows. His last one was the second one. It was the second one. My commentary on both those shows, because those shows don't have commentary. So I uploaded them to my YouTube page with my commentary track laid over them. And linked you to where you can actually get the actual show without my commentary, because I would never just steal something and not give credit to Noah's YouTube page. It was a very good one. But this was an amazing, probably Junta Miyawaki's best match ever against Kaito Kiyomiya. Now, how could you not have a great match against Kiyomiya unless you're just terrible or something? But he was on fire. That's one thing I've always liked and respected about Miyawaki. He is always passionate. He is always on fire. He never wrestles like he's scared or nervous or intimidated. I mean, if he is, you'd never know it, because he never works that style. He didn't work that style here. He hit his big missile drop kick several times on Kiyomiya. He reversed a lot of Kiyomiya's offense. He really looked like he could have won this match. Now, of course, I never really believed he was going to, because Kaito Kiyomiya is in a different league. He's just in a different league. And unless Junta Miyawaki goes away and becomes something I don't expect, and I expect him to become very good, I don't think he ever will be on. There's a few people in Noah on Kiyomiya's level. Kaito Kiyomiya is top four or five, and maybe even higher than that, top three in pro wrestling. Noah, especially for his age, he's an extremely young man. And this, Kaito Kiyomiya gave him everything he had, and Junta Miyawaki took it all. He really stood tall and stood strong. Kaito Kiyomiya wins in the end with the Tiger Suplex, but this went 17 minutes. And you know me, I'm a big fan of shorter matches, 10, 15 minutes tops for most matches. I can even live with some matches being 7 or 8. I really can't. I think you can have a very good match in less than 10 minutes. And my argument is, if you're going to wrestle over 15 minutes, it better be damn good. And I don't mean spamming a bunch of finishing moves that you each kick out of for all kinds of crazy false finishes, or doing ridiculous moves outside the ring like pile drivers on the apron or DDTs on the floor. If you can put a 15-minute plus match on without spamming finishing moves, without ridiculous amounts of false finishers, and still make it look like a fight, then you are amazing. And that's what these two did. Kaito Kiyomiya and Junta Miyawaki put on over a 17-minute match, not 18. It was between 17 and 18 minutes long, and it was excellent. It's not a match of the year contender or anything like that, but this was a very solid, solid match that I very much appreciated, that saw Junta Miyawaki go out surrounded by the Noah Jr. regulars, who stood there, cheered. They didn't help him up. They were going to help him up after the loss, but they backed off. Daisuke Hirata said no. Let him get up on his own. He did. They stood there cheering with him. He had a big autograph session after the show, from what I understand, with lots of fans getting in line to wish him well and Godspeed. And he's going out of Noah as best as he could possibly look. He's going to train over there in Japan. I got it in my notes somewhere if I could find it. But Hisami did note what Kaito Kiyomiya said on the microphone after this match to Junta Miyawaki. So let me read that. He said, Miyawaki always come at that level. Today it was conveyed that you were different than usual. Miyawaki's resolution, did you all see it? By the time you return, I'll be the new Noah. So he's saying he's going to be standing in the center of the ring. I'm pretty sure he's saying he's going to be GHC champion, and he's going to be calling himself I Am Noah, like several of them are so famous to do. So I won't lose to you either. And I'm not going to lose to you when you come back, he's saying. But with your resolution today, I am sure you will come back in a big way. I will be expecting that. So that's Kiyomiya saying, look, you aren't going to beat me when you come back, but I know you're going to be amazing. I know you're going to be great just based on how you were in this match. You made a resolution to evolve and become much better. You did it in this match. You gave me all I could handle. Now I know when you go to Mexico and come back, you're going to be even better, but not going to beat me. That's what Kiyomiya had to say. Miyawaki, it was very emotional. Let's see here. I can't find where I put it in my notes here, where he's going to be going. Over there, I know Ultimo Dragon is going to be his trainer in Mexico. So I don't know how long he'll be gone. Is it like 6 months or so, an excursion? It can be longer, but probably roughly about that long, if not longer. And he will come back a much better and bigger deal. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. But this was a really solid match. Good stuff. The fifth match on a show that just flew by was Kongo, consisting of Kenno, Hajime Ohara, and Hiroki, taking on a unit from DDT called Damnation, consisting of Daisuke Sasaki, MJ Paul, and Kanan? Look, I've said this before, I'm not super excited with this DDT crossover. I understand Cyberfight's a big show, and I don't want to not be supportive. I'm trying not to be. Everything I see from DDT does not impress me, including this nonsense. This Damnation group, or I guess they're supposed to be a bunch of badasses or something, and really, they just, like, if you wanted to order New Japan House of Torture from Wish.com, you'd get Damnation. I mean, that's just... And I hate House of Torture. I hate them. They're one of the reasons I don't watch New Japan. I'm not going to watch a company that constantly has a unit that does the hijinks that unit does. I mean, we're not here to talk about New Japan, but I'm just laying it out there as an example. This constant interfering with chairs, and in this case, a freaking cattle prod. Now, granted, that didn't come out until the end of the match when it was over, but... I mean, who's this guy? He looks... this Sasaki guy, is he supposed to be a goth Mountie carrying around a cattle prod? Why the hell would you carry around a cattle prod? At least it made a little bit of a sense for the Mountie, and I hated that gimmick shit back in the day, too, when I was a kid or a much younger man. I don't know. The match was what it was. When they actually wrestled, it was good. It was decent. I think Kongo's clearly the better team. I don't think it's even close. These clowns from Damnation had to use a fourth partner who wasn't in the match. They had to use chair shots. They attacked Kongo during their pose, which, I don't know if Paris Del Mall even does that. I don't know what they're trying to prove. They're supposed to be cool. They're supposed to be spooky. I don't know. Damnation. You know, ooh, Damnation. Guy in a freaky clown-looking mask. Not for me. DDT shit, 99% of the time, is not for me. And this match wasn't for me because of the Sasaki, Paul, and Kanan. Again, they're serviceable as wrestlers when they actually wrestled, but there was just way too many hijinks, way too much gaga, way too much weapon usage. Nah. Kongo's better than this. Kenno's way better. Kenno is stuck wrestling this Sasaki guy coming up in the crossover show, and I'll watch it up probably because it's Kenno, and Kenno's one of my favorites. But, nah, I don't have a lot to say about this match other than I hated it. I just did not like this Damnation group at all. They come out with the victory, of course, because they had to use chairs and a fourth partner and anything they could. And then after they won, they attacked Kenno and brought out the cattle prod and had to shock him with it. And then they had to put up with this idiot who's in charge of them, Sasaki guy, going backstage on the microphone and saying how they're so much, but DDT's so much better than Noah, and that Kenno's not a big deal, and he'll dispose of him easily, and blah, trash, hated it. We were already at the main event, and that's how I felt when I was watching this show this morning. Got up at 6 o'clock, well, about 10 till, to get ready to watch the show, and it was over. I think it was over just shy of 8 o'clock. I think it ran just slightly under 2 hours. Perfect, if you ask me. It's a perfect length for a wrestling show. I made that post on Facebook and Twitter. Doesn't mean I won't watch shows that are longer. Doesn't even mean I might not love a show that's 3 or 4 hours long. My personal opinion, though, I wish all shows were about 2.5, 3 hours tops. All shows. Because if you've got a show you want to put on for 4 or 5, my God, 6 hours, make it 2 days, okay? Noah's got 2 shows coming up that we're going to preview back-to-back dates. And that's the way to do it. I don't want to see a 4-hour show. I don't want to see a 5-hour show. I absolutely don't want to see a 6-hour show. If Noah puts on a show that long, would I watch it? Yes. Yes. But you know what I'd probably do? I would watch it a day or two later and break it up throughout the day. I could love every single match. It has nothing to do with being tired. I'm so tired. But I sit here, and it's a nice chair, my nice little black and green chair, emerald chair, if you want, with my dual screen monitor so I can have Twitter or Facebook up on one and the show on the other. I think I actually reverse that, the show over here and social media here, and do my thing. But, you know, at 3 hours, I'm like, tired of sitting here. It could be the best wrestling I've ever seen in my life, which you know it usually is. I'm just tired of sitting here. I want to do something other than sit at this desk, or even if I couldn't watch a show like that on my couch, I would fall asleep. And even though it doesn't have anything to do with being sleepy, it doesn't. It has to do with just sitting on a big comfy couch like we have here, all relaxed with lots of fluffy pillows and stuff, and being able to stay awake no matter what I'm watching. I could be watching Better Call Saul, one of my all-time favorite TV shows, or Shark Tank, and still doze off if it was 3 hours long. But it's not about that. It's just I want to move. I want to go play fling golf, or I got a pool table right over here that you can't see. I want to do something other than sit in this chair for 3, 4 hours or more. Lord. But anyhow, this was great. 2 hours long. The main event was Go Shiozaki teaming with Shehu Taniguchi and Daisuke Harada versus Satoshi Kojima, Atsushi Kotoki, and who was supposed to be Naomichi Marufuji, taking his spot because he had Marufuji was having knee pain. He's okay, just needed to rest. Taking his spot was Muhammad Yone, because we're going to have the Funky Express, or the former Funky Express element, in this matchup, and we had that, and it worked, and I liked it. I mean, Shiozaki versus Kojima, that's the story, that's the pre-show, that's what we wanted to see here, absolutely, and we did see it. Taniguchi against Yone was very good, and not to be outdone, I mean, nobody's ever going to outdo Daisuke Harada in the ring, not if you can help it. He and Kotogi really went at it very well, and of course they interchanged throughout the match, I'm not saying, but these matches are always a preview of other matches. Will we see Kotogi versus Harada? Not necessarily, but will we see Yone and Tani? Absolutely, going forward. And coming up, the main event of the Cyber Fight Festival, we will see Go Shiozaki versus Satoshi Kojima for that heavyweight title. And so the preview here was very good. It went back and forth, looked really good. I really like how Daisuke Harada can hang with heavyweights. And that's not saying the other juniors can't do that, but I don't think none of them do it as well as Harada. Well, maybe Kotoki. Kotoki hangs with the heavyweights. He did go into the heavyweight division a few years back, and represented well. This match was solid. For the final matchup, I believe, no, they're meeting again in one of the upcoming shows we're going to preview. But Kojima goes up one here. I think it's 3-2 in regard to these preview matches. I'm not positive, but I think Kojima and his team, whoever he's teaming with, have won 3 of these preview matches. Go Shiozaki and the 2 people he's teaming with at different times have won 2 of them. They will face off again coming up soon, which we'll preview next. But this was a very good matchup. Taniguchi is kicking ass. He took the pinfall here. He got clotheslined by Kojima. He got the Kojima lariat. He got the cozy lariat, if you will. And he went down, because just about anybody in this world would. But he's really coming up strong, looking good. And so I'm really curious to see how high he's going to go since leaving the Funky Express. That's going to be fun to keep an eye on as well. after the matchup, again, using Hysami's website, which is always linked in the descriptions of these videos. She interpreted what Kojima said to Goji Ozaki when he got on the microphone after the match. And here's what this was. He says, "Ozaki, do you hear me? The GHC title match is about 2 weeks away. Are you ready? Are you thinking about me 24 hours a day? Hey, what about it? I'm always thinking about you. I wake up, eat, train at noon. After that, I think about you. I eat at night and then think about you before going to bed. If you want to know more about me, then read Satoshi Kojima's page on Wikipedia. Anyway, I can only say this to close out the event. GHC heavyweight champion, I will win, stupid." So Kojima wanting to be one of the few men in history to hold the IWGP heavyweight championship, All Japan's Triple Crown championship, and if he does this, the GHC heavyweight championship. I believe it would only be the third or fourth man in the history of the wrestling world to pull that off. So that's a very interesting piece of information that makes this match all the more exciting. But that was Noah's show from early this morning, 6 o'clock this morning, Noah Sanctuary. I would give this show an 8.5 out of 10. Again, the DDT clowns, the damnation goofs, would pull a point and a half off of this matchup. I have no interest in ever seeing them again, although I'm sure I'm going to have to probably in the Cyber Fight Festival, or maybe they'll even come to Noah again. I kind of hope not. I'd rather see the Z-Brats again. I mean, they've got a cocky, arrogant attitude, but at least they're excellent wrestlers who don't resort to chairs and cattle prods. Anyhow, I really, despite that match, despite damnation, damn them, I really like this show. Very, very good, very solid, as all Pro Wrestling Noah shows are. Next, we are going to preview some matches. We are going to preview a show coming up on June 5th, a show coming up on June 7th, and a show coming up on June 8th, because all of them are before the next Mount Ararat podcast. I wanted to say here, I am pushing the podcast back one day. Instead of releasing it on Wednesdays, I'm releasing it on Thursdays now. That's just working better for me. Wednesdays is just a little bit too early in the week for me to get them out. Thursdays is much better. The last one actually didn't come out the Friday. Sometimes that's going to happen. I have a life. I'll do the best that I can. But these shows, it looks like the 7th and the 8th might only be on Abema. We'll talk about that when we preview them. And the show on the 12th, well, we're not going to preview that yet. But the show on the 5th will be on Wrestle Universe. The shows on the 7th and the 8th, the back-to-back shows, are only on Abema, for now anyway. And we'll talk about that in the preview section coming up next.
All right, guys, we are going to do things in this preview section like we did last week. I'm not going to bother throwing my image up here as I talk about this. Just makes editing the show a little easier for me. Another thing I'm going to do to make editing a little easier for me is I'm going to run through all three of these cards back to back without any cuts. Again, just makes editing a whole lot easier for me, so I hope you can appreciate that. We're going to take a look at three shows Noah has coming up here, as you can see. The first one is called Sunny Voyage 2022 from June 5th. And the next one we're going to talk about is going to be Star Navigation from June 7th. And the one after that, and all of these are before the next podcast, that's why I'm doing it. The one after that will be June 8th, also Star Navigation. Now, it does look like here, if you can see my mouse going around the screen here, that the shows on the 7th and the 8th, the Star Navigation shows, are going to only be on Abema, A-B-E-M-A. That is Japanese television. And if you watch the shows live, that's at 18:30. That'd be 5:30 in the morning Eastern Standard Time. I know that's difficult on a Tuesday and Wednesday, but I'm just saying, if you can pull that off, if you can watch them live, they'll be free. Free. Abema does have an on-demand service. 95% people living outside Japan cannot get it, even with a VPN. Somehow, miraculously, I get it without using my VPN. No, I don't know how, but I do. So if I can catch these shows live, which I'm off work those days, so I should be able to. But if I can't, I'll be able to watch them on Abema On Demand, but I do not recommend you paying for Abema On Demand like I do, because chances are you won't be able to get it. If you can watch these live, check them out.
So let's jump into this, okay? The first one is right here on NOAA's website. Sunny Voyage 2022 from Niigata, Aore Nagaoka. I knew I should have tried to do it with that. Arena, but it's from Niigata on June 5th. Click on details here and we're going to see these matches pull up. We'll start from the bottom, of course, right away because we don't want to, you know, start from the main event. And here we are, the first match of the night coming up on June 5th is Kai Fujimura taking on Hal. This will be a solid match, of course. I say that all the time. I'm a broken record. I know, guys. But look, a lot of times when you review wrestling companies, there's a match or a wrestler or something, where you're like, this won't be anything special. No, it just isn't like that. We got an inspired Hal since coming out of Congo, kicking ass and taking names, but he's been on a little bit of a losing streak. I think he's lost his last two in a row. Here he gets the win back against Kai Fujimura. Fujimura is great. He's just not going to beat Hal. It's as simple as that. It'll be a good match. It'll be all about the fundamentals of wrestling. Both of them will showcase what NOAA is all about. Hal will get the win. I'm confident of that. Next up will be one half of the former GHC Heavyweight Tag Team Champions, Rene Dupree, taking on Kenya Okada, and boy, will that be fun. I mean, Rene Dupree is so much more experienced. He's bigger. And not that Kenya Okada is a small guy by any stretch of the imagination, but he's just not the size of Rene Dupree. I know Masahiro Chono has encouraged Rene Dupree to go into the singles competition. My guess is this is him stepping into that, leaving the tag team scene for now. Not his partner. I don't think there's any trouble there. I don't want to insinuate that or anything. But I really believe that he's going to take Masahiro Chono's advice and go into the singles division, kicking it off against Kenya Okada, which will be great, but much like, even more so than Hal versus Kai Fujimura, Rene Dupree will defeat Kenya Okada in a good, solid matchup as he steps into the singles part of the shows. Next up, we got the returning Paros de Mal. Boy, those guys weren't gone for long. Part of me thinks that was some kind of big work just to try to get their names out there more than they already are. Nosawa teaming with Kotaro Suzuki, a solid tag team. I expect both of them to challenge for the junior title soon. They're taking on the former GHC junior champions who want those belts back badly, but have recently agreed to settle that down and get back in line with Ogawa and Chris Ridgeway and Hayata because of the return of Paros de Mal. Seki Yoshioka and Yuya Susumu. This will be a war. The one thing you always got to worry about, concern yourself with to some degree, is that the match will get thrown out. And it could go either way. Either one of these two teams could just cheat in some way, use a belt, you know, use a chair, hit the referee. Any number of things could happen because these two teams, Paros de Mal, De Japón, and Stinger, cannot control their emotions a lot of the times when they're in there against each other. Let's hope they do here because this will be an excellent matchup if they do. Tough to call a winner here if they stay serious. I'm going to go with Yoshioka and Susumu. They really impressed me, challenging their partners, challenging their friends, Ogawa and Ridgeway. And I think, you know, they're going to be extra motivated, but whatever little game went down between, you know, with Ozawa and Paros de Mal leaving NOAA and then coming back. So I'm going to say the Stinger guys pulled this off. Unless it gets thrown out, of course. Next match is a six-man match. We got Atsushi Kotogi, Extreme Tiger, and Alejandro teaming against the Congo Juniors, led by Tarasuke, Hajime Ohara, and Hiroki. Now, two masked men here together, I think will really click well. I think those two will work excellent together. Now, that's not taking anything away from Kotogi, who's one of the leaders of the NOAA Junior regulars, no doubt about that. This will be a tough match. Tadasuke, Ohara, and Hiroki, I think, need to win more than they do. I'm not saying they're losers, but they lose enough that shocks me. It surprises me. And I want to lean towards picking Kotogi, Extreme Tiger, and Alejandro here just for that reason. I'm a Congo guy. I love Congo. You know, I will tell you what my biases are. I am a big fan of Congo. So because of that, I'm going to pick that. I'm going to pick Tadasuke, Ohara, and Hiroki because I'm a big fan. And I just think they need it. When they need to win, they usually do. When their backs are against the wall and you begin to question what's going on with Congo, they usually pull out a win. So I would predict a win here in what will be a great matchup. Next up is another six-man tag team matchup. We've got Simon Gotch teaming with Hayata and Yoshinori Ogawa. Again, if this man isn't officially in Stinger, put him in there. He fits perfectly. Against Kaito Kiyomiya, Daisuke Harada, and Yohei. We got Kiyomiya teaming with two juniors. Harada, the ace of the division, in my opinion, until someone can prove me wrong. And Yohei, he's like, and I hate doing this, but I'll do it in case we got some new listeners. Yohei is like the Japanese Jeff Hardy. Okay, that's what you're looking at there. Look, Gotch, Ogawa, and Hayata are just tougher than these. I'm just going to say it. They are. Maybe. Harada is tough as nails. Kiyomiya is tough as hell. Yohei, I wouldn't call Yohei tough, but he's skilled. Fast, quick, talented. But look, Stinger's just, they're in another league, in my opinion, and they're a unit. And I think Gotch is pretty much part of them, whether it's official or not. And Kiyomiya could beat anybody in this world at any moment. But I'm picking the Stinger guys because I just think they're tougher than the team they're facing. It's as simple as that. But we'll see what happens in this matchup, and it's one you don't want to miss. Then we got another six-person match. Boy, this card is full of the six-man matches. But you know what? That's about my limit. I'm not a big fan of four or five six-man on each side of the ring. You know, three versus three is pretty solid. It's legitimate. There's no trios title in NOAH. But there could be. I'm not asking for one. I don't think it's needed. But I think six-man titles are good, and it would be something to defend on shows like this. But again, I'm not pining away for one or anything like that. But six-man matches are good. They're solid. And this one is a very good one because we've got the GHC Heavyweight Tag Team Champions Michael Elgin and Masaaki Tamiya teaming with the monster Yoshiki Inamura. Going to slide right in there wonderfully with those two guys. Another big Bull of the Woods guy coming in there teaming with the champions. Taking on Kongo's Kenno, Katsuhiko Nakajima, and Manabu Soya. And look, guys, I'm just going to say it. I like the guy, respect the guy. I'm a Kongo guy. I'm also a Michael Elgin guy. But look, Manabu Soya's been a bitch lately. Been a little bitch. And look, I wouldn't want to say it to his face. But the man can't buy a win. He gets pinned all the time. And the last time I remember him winning is when he teamed with Tadasuke and Hajime Ohara. And I can't even remember who they wrestled. But they actually got a win, and he got it for them and looked good. Other than that, the man has done nothing but lose, and I don't know why, because he's great. He's an excellent wrestler. Big guy. He would fit on the opposite team, honestly. I'm not asking for him to leave Kongo, but he needs to shake him. He's the enforcer of Kongo. I don't know what he's enforcing. He's enforcing that he never wins. And that's why I predict the tag team champions, Elgin and Kitamiya, teaming with Inamura, going over here, getting the win here. Even though the mighty, the great, the awesome, the amazing Kenno and Nakajima are on the other side, I think, now, here we go. I just said their name, so I'm wondering if Kenno and Nakajima's team with Soya get the win, because that would allow Kenno and Nakajima to step up and challenge for the tag titles. Now, they've been there and done that, and Elgin and Kitamiya already defeated the team that Kenno and Nakajima could not defeat. I'm wrong there. Kenno and Nakajima could not defeat the Segura Army. Well, they couldn't defeat Segura and Hideki Suzuki, so I'm wrong. I apologize for that. But, I don't know. Is Kenno and Nakajima looking to get back into the tag team action? I doubt it. I think they're looking to stay in singles competition. So, sticking with what I said, Elgin, Kitamiya, and Inamura for the win here over Manabu Soya. He'll be the guy that goes down. And finally, the main event is yet another six-man match. We've got one, two, three, four six-man matches, one tag team, and two singles. The main event here is another preview match for the GHC Heavyweight Championship match coming up. Goji Ozaki teaming with Takashi Zagura and Shuhei Taniguchi to take on Satoshi Kojima, Naomichi Marufuji, and Mohamed Yone. Now, adding Segura in here is pretty damn big. I mean, that makes another level matchup here. Shiozaki, Segura, and Taniguchi, three big heavyweights. Now, the other team also have heavyweights. Marufuji's the smallest of the six guys, and that's taking nothing away from Marufuji. He's one of the best wrestlers in the world. So this will be unbelievably solid. You've got Taniguchi versus Yone, you know, the former Funky Express squaring off. Of course, Kojima and Shiozaki, you know, giving us a preview of the upcoming GHC heavyweight champion. And that mean that leaves Suki with Marufuji? Of course that would be excellent. This will be a great matchup. I think this is possibly going to be my favorite preview match between Gio Zaki and Kojima. And like I said, I'm pretty sure the statistics like Kojima 3 wins, Gio Zaki 2 wins in these preview matches. Gio Zaki pulls even here. Yone probably goes down to either Gio Zaki himself or Suki. Probably Gio Zaki, because Kojima got the big win for his team the last time. Gio Zaki gets it here. Taniguchi was pinned the last time by Kojima. So why not have Muhammad Yone get pinned by Go Gio Zaki in this one? Seems predictable, but that's my predictions for this show. Coming up again on June 5th, we're talking about the Sunny Voyage out of Nagata. Don't want to miss this show. It'll be another good one. Now, I'm going to keep it rolling. Like a lot of times, I would cut out here and then have another preview section. I'm going to keep it going again. It makes editing easier for me. Thank you for understanding. The next matchup here, Star Navigation, right? Yeah, we just did June 5th. Now we're on June 7th. Star Navigation from Korakuen Hall on Abima TV. Let's look at the details of this matchup, of these matchups. And we're going to start down here, of course. Looks like a big one, a big card. Single matchup, Hajime Ohara versus Alejandro kicks this show off. Excellent matchup. I've got to go with Hajime Ohara. He's just the baddest of the two guys. Alejandro's great. Alejandro has been in a different league since leaving Congo. It has definitely inspired and moved him and just shot him out of a cannon. Absolutely. And look, I'm a Congo guy, but I like Alejandro on his own. I just do. Or with his brother. His gear looks better. His attitude's better. His matches are more enjoyable to me. I really don't think he fit in Congo. He seemed like an odd choice to be part of that group. I like him here. I don't like him to win this matchup just because I think Hajime Ohara's on a different level. I think Ohara could be the ace of the division. You could probably argue that at one point he was, even closer than he is now. I'd like to see him used better than he is because I just feel like, I mean, here he is opening the show. I think Ohara deserves more and better than that, and I think he gets the win here. I do. Next up, the Funky Express looks to still exist because we got two members, Muhammad Yone and Akitoshi Saito, teaming up. We'll see. Are they going to come out dressed as the Funky Express? I suspect they are. Why not? Saito seems to do commentary a lot, doesn't seem to wrestle as much as he once did, but here he is. They're taking on their former partner, Shuhei Taniguchi, as he's teaming with Kai Fujimura. What an interesting team that is. Now, Fujimura is the junior heavyweight here, and he will be thrown around by Saito and Yone. I mean, Fujimura's got to hope he doesn't get beaten up like Kenya Okada has by Muhammad Yone. I mean, because that was brutal. Muhammad Yone can just beat the living hell out of Kenya Okada. And if he does that to Fujimura here, I mean, that's what's going to happen. Fujimura's going down. He's going to lose. He's going to take the pinfall or the submission. Funky Express get the win here. Taniguchi will not be happy about that. I hope it kind of makes him angry enough to start heading towards the monster role that he can fill. And maybe we'll see that break out in this matchup. I'm not predicting that, but I wouldn't mind seeing it. Next up is another straight tag team match. We got Simon Gotch teaming with Hayata. There he is with Stinger again. Keep him there, boys. As they take on Yohei and Kenya Okada. Interesting matchup here as well. Why not Yohei and Extreme Tiger? I know they're a junior team, but Hayata's a junior. They've got some juniors in this match anyway. Again, hard to pick against Gotch and Hayata and Stinger overall, especially when you got a young guy like Okada in the match, who again will do great and look good as he always does, but he's the weak link in that team just because of the experience. He really is. He's not up in the upper echelon of the Noah card yet. And unless he breaks out here and pins Gotch or Hayata, which I can't see happening, but you never know, he'll remain where he's at as the young guy trying to work his way up, costing the match for he and Yohei here against who I hope is officially Stinger. I really want Simon Gotch in that unit. There's a singles match. Here's where Extreme Tiger is. He's taking on Atsushi Kotogi. This will be excellent. This will be a contender for match of the night, more than likely, because a lot of these matches are tag teams and six-man tag teams. So this stands a chance to stand out if both these guys work their best match possible. Extreme Tiger's just coming off a loss to Hayata when he challenged for that junior title. Here he's taking on Kotoge, who's on Hayata's level in every way, so this match will be different than the match with Hayata was, as Kotoge probably has experienced wrestling more luchadores than Hayata has. I'm not positive of that, but I think that's a possibility. And it's tough to call a winner here, but I don't know. I may have to leave this one go, because Extreme Tiger is coming off a loss. Now, if he and Yohei are going to move into the junior tag division, the loss doesn't hurt him terribly here. So for that reason, I'll pick Kotoge to win this. Either one of these guys could easily win this match. This is a major toss-up. But because I suspect there's a good possibility that Extreme Tiger and Yohei may be eventually chasing his junior tag titles, I'll pick Kotoge to win a very good matchup. Next up is a regular tag team match. Daisuke Harada teaming with Hal to take on the Congo Juniors, Tadasuke and Hiroki. Now here we got Hal and Hiroki facing off against each other again, since Hiroki lost the right to have his former name, Niho, and had to have his head shaved. So that'll be some interesting interaction there. And Daisuke Harada versus Tadasuke was a terrific match. Tadasuke came up short because when Harada had the junior title back then. And so he'll be looking to show, you know, you're not just going to dominate me and control me every time we face off. And that makes picking a winner here ridiculously hard. Harada is one of my favorite junior heavyweights in the world. I really would like to see this guy work heavyweight. He has no interest in that because he loves being the big shot in the junior division. He loves the junior division with all of his heart. So that's not going to happen. Tough call here. Hal has had some losses. I predicted he would get one back on the show before this. I don't know if that'll happen, but if he does, that should lift his spirit some. But again, Congo is in a position where they need the wins. Now, that doesn't mean their faction's going to win every matchup here. I already picked O'Hara to win the opening matchup. And for that reason alone, I'll go with Hal and Harada here. I always cringe picking against my boys in Congo because I really root for them like crazy. But just based on, you know, the way wrestling shows go, I don't see a faction just winning match after match after match, but I have no problems if Congo would pull this off. I love those guys, but Harada and Hal are pretty serious as well. Singles match next. Man, I love when these shows would have more single matches. I'm nothing against 2-on-2 and 3-on-3, nothing at all, but man, I really like some good solid single matches, and this is one. Satoshi Kojima, as he prepares to challenge Goji Ozaki for the GHC Heavyweight Championship, takes on the enforcer of Congo, Manabu Soya. Now look, guys, Manabu Soya, I said he was a bitch in the last show, and I apologize, but I get frustrated when a guy who I know from WrestleOne and other places is a great professional wrestler, but just doesn't look it. He performs well, that's not what I'm saying, but results-wise, he looks like a young guy. He looks like someone who's guaranteed a win. And that's what he is here again, because you know there's no way he's beating Kojima before he wrestles Goji Ozaki for the GHC Heavyweight Championship. Now, Kojima will make Soya look like $1 million, just like all the big stars have, but Soya's not getting the win here. That you just know that, unfortunately. We've got Open the Triangle Gate Championship match here. Look, I don't watch anything other than Noah and World Wonder Ring Stardom. They're the only two wrestling companies I watch. They're the only two wrestling companies I can stomach. Everybody else does too much crap, too much gaga, too much comedy, too much goofiness, too much wrestling that looks like a cheerleading competition or violent gymnastics. And I don't know enough about Dragon Gate to say how bad they are in that regard. I have no idea. But I don't watch them. But I do know Paros de Mal de Japón. And here is a six-man championship that I don't think would be bad for Noah to consider having for shows like this. If they were only ever defended on shows like this one and the last one with all the six-man matches, I'd have no problem with that. But this is the Open the Triangle Gate Championship. Anything to do with Dragon Gate, if you don't know, has the word gate inserted in the title name. Okay? And the word open. I don't get it. It's a mouthful. Open the Triangle Gate Championship. OTTG. OTTG. Drop the T for the, and let's just call it OTG Championship.
much better, in my opinion. Doesn't really matter. I'm just saying, just complaining for the sake of complaining, because I do think they're ridiculous names. But the champions are Paris de Mol de Japon, Nosawa Aita, and Kotaro Suzuki, and they challenged, the champions challenged, Stinger, Ogawa, Seki Yoshioka, Yuya Susumu, to this matchup. They said any three members of Stinger, and we've got some three badasses here. I would love to see Stinger win these titles. I suspect they will not. I don't see Dragon Gate titles coming to Noah officially. And I don't mean to stay, but I mean, they could. Doesn't rule it out, but somehow the champs either retain here, or there's a bunch of shenanigans they pull, interference, maybe the rest of Paris DeMol, Takano, and the rest of them run out, and the rest of Stinger jump out. That's probably how this will go down. It will end up in a massive, massive brawl, and the match will be thrown out. That's my prediction for this. And again, this is a big card. We've got a six-person matchup next. Here's Kongo back with Kenno Masakatsu Funaki, who has moved up my list of favorites quickly, and Katsuhiko Nakajima taking on Naomichi Marafuji, Masato Tanaka, and Masaki Mochizuki. You realize what this is, right, folks? It's the M's Alliance. I don't know if they're still a unit or not. Ever since they announced that they were going to put a pause on things, I feel like they've been working together almost just as much. And here it is, absolutely the M's Alliance, calling themselves that or not, that's who it is, taking on Kongo. And look, I'm going to make a bold statement here. Marufuji, Tanaka, and Mochizuki are great. Three of the best wrestlers out there. Absolutely. But if Kenno, Funaki, and Nakajima can't win this matchup, then Kongo needs to disband. Again, not because the M's Alliance are any kind of pushovers, but I'm sorry. Kenno, Funaki, and Nakajima here should win this. Not in a squash, but they're the better team. They're amazing wrestlers. While Tanaka, Mochizuki, and Marufuji are great, they are on the downside of their careers. All three of them. That they're just on the back end. That doesn't mean they aren't any good. It just means they're on the back end. Now, Funaki, you could normally make that argument too, because he's, what, 51, 52? Somewhere in there. I'm 52. He's right around my age. I know that. Kenno and Nakajima, are they 40 yet? I don't know. But Funaki is a different breed. He is he's one of the best wrestlers in the world, top five for sure, in my opinion. He's the best joint manipulator in the world. He's the best purveyor, in my opinion, of MMA and professional wrestling. Yes, better than Brock Lesnar. But Brock Lesnar is a good, solid, tough-ass wrestler, absolutely. Legitimate, badass man. In wrestling and outside of wrestling, absolutely. But Funaki, when it comes to maneuvering, when it comes to being a ground worker, he's not stronger than Lesnar, but I think he's better. And I really don't care. They're never going to face off. That's my opinion, and I'm allowed to have it. Funaki is excellent. You can't count him as an old man. You can't talk about being on the back end of his career. You can, but you'd be wrong, because he's 52 going on 30. As much as I love and respect Marufuji, Tanaka, and Mochizuki, that's just not true about any of them. They're great. They're solid, but they are not in their high 40s and mid-50s going on 30 the way Masakatsu Funaki is. They just aren't. So my prediction, of course, is Kongo winning this. And they won't, but if they can't win this, I think it's time to just disband, take away, shut down the band. I do. They've got to win this. I predict they win this. Now it is a 10-person tag team matchup. That's too many guys. Too many guys. I love all these guys, but it's too many. 5-on-5. You know what will happen? Some of these guys will be blocking the camera view. I'll miss some holds and maneuvers, especially getting screenshots of them, because there'll be so many guys on the apron you won't be able to see through them or around them. It's too many guys, no matter how good they are. And boy, listen to this, they are good. Goji Ozaki teams with Kaito Kiyomiya, Michael Elgin, Masaki Tamiya, and Yoshiki Inamura. Boy, if there were six-man belts, tell me Elgin, Kitamiya, and Inamura wouldn't stand a shot at winning them. But anyhow, that's your first team. The second team is the Segura Army. Takashi Segura, Hideki Suzuki, Rene Dupree, El Hijo de Dr. Wagner Jr., and a mystery partner. Now, is this mystery partner going to be part of the Segura Army officially? They don't have to be. I'm just wondering if they will be. Who is it possibly going to be? Is RVD going to go over early and show up here? That's a guess I have. Maybe he's over there. He'll be over there already a little before Cyberfight, raring to go and get slotted in here. That'd be my absolute guess for this, but I don't know. I'm not Voices of Wrestling claiming to have sources inside the NOAH locker room and being completely wrong about the things I say. But this is going to be great. It's a very hard one to pick. Very hard one to pick. The Segura Army are badasses. And you guys know my love of Elgin and Kitamiya as a team. You know how big I am on Inamura and Kiyomiya. And I'm a fan of Shiozaki. I just happen to think that Nakajima should still be the GHC Heavyweight Champion here. This is a very, very hard one to pick. I'm going to go with the Segura Army just because I think whoever the mystery partner is, and especially if it's RVD, they're going to want to hype this up. They're going to want to put this over. So give the win to those guys one way or another. Inamura taking the loss, probably the youngest guy in the match. But this will be good, but a little bit of a madhouse because, again, 5 versus 5 is way too many guys for me. Love and respect them all, but way too many guys in a match. But it'll be solid because of who these guys are. These guys are awesome. We're not looking at a bunch of clowns wrestling. We're looking at 10 of the best wrestlers in the world. And I just think it's too much of a cluster with that many guys. But that is your preview for this Star Navigation on June 7th. And we got one more to go. Again, guys, if you started this a little later into the show or something, we're going over all 3 shows at once. It just makes it easier for me to edit. And we're going to June 8th, then the very next day. That's why we're doing this. All 3 of these will be out before the next Mount Ararat podcast, which will be June 9th, because I'm pushing the show to Thursdays, guys. I am pushing the show to Thursdays. Makes it easier for me. Just like doing all 3 of these shows in the same video clip will make the editing, oh my God, 100 times easier. So after June 7th to go to June 8th, this is broadcast on Abima. If you watch it live, you'll see it for free. Click on the details of this show from June 8th. Okay, all the matches are uploaded, thankfully. Opening show. Look who's opening the show again. Bottom of the card, working his way back to the top is what he said he would do. He's even helping build the ring and tear it apart. Impressive. I'm talking about Kazuyuki Fujita, the former GHC Heavyweight Champion, teaming with Hideki Suzuki. So that's the Segura Army in a very badass team. Taking on Yoshiki Inamura and Kenya Okada. Okay, this is going to be about Fujita and Suzuki killing Inamura and Okada. Inamura will stand there toe-to-toe with him and give it back, as will Okada as much as he possibly can. But I promise you the story of this match is going to be the Segura Army guys, Fujita and Suzuki, just beating a holy hell out of Inamura and Okada. Not in a squash. You don't see squashes in Noah. Not really. Very rarely. Fujita's come close to having a few. But Inamura and Okada will stand tall. This will go 10 minutes, maybe just under. But you're going to see Fujita and Suzuki just get their licks in on these young guys and win. 6-person match up next. The Triangle Gate champions, if they still have the titles, and I suspect they will because I think that match from the day before is going to end in chaos. Nosawa, Eita, and Katoro Suzuki taking on Extreme Tiger, Hal, and Alejandro. Look, Tiger, Hal, Alejandro, great. They're not going to beat Nosawa, Eita, and Suzuki. I mean, they'll give them a good fight. It'll be entertaining up until the point that Nosawa, Eita, and Suzuki, Paros de Mal de Hopon, just take over, beat their asses down, and get the win. Another 6-man matchup next. Simon Gotch, Hayata, and Kai Fujimura taking on the NOAH Junior Regulars, Tadasuke, Hajime Ohara, and Hiroki. Now, I predicted against my Congo Juniors on the last show. I hated to do it, but I just said I had to be honest. That's what I felt was going to happen. Here's where you get their win back. They're going to take out Kai Fujimura and get this win. Gotch and Hayata will be brutal. They will punish Tadasuke Ohara and Hiroki. But in the end, the Congo Juniors will single out Kai Fujimura and get their win back here. Single match mystery opponent taking on Shuhei Taniguchi. Now, is this going to be the same mystery opponent from the night before? I can't talk much about this match because I don't know who it is. But if it is the mystery person, from the night before. And if that person is who I predicting it could be, I'm guaranteeing it. And it's RVD against Taniguchi. I've not seen RVD work in years. I couldn't stomach him in Impact. I mean, he's running around with his girlfriend. What's her name? Sorry, I don't remember her name. And they were as goofy as they come, just acting like fools. I can't watch Impact Wrestling. It's way too silly for me. So I couldn't predict this match if I knew it was RVD, because I don't know how RVD's working. I don't. But let's wait and see what this is, and I trust it will be good. Another six-man match here. Zagura Army, Takashi Zagura, Rene Dupree, and El Hijo Dr. Wagner Jr. taking on Kongo. We got Kenno, Katsuhiko Nakajima, and Manabu Soya. Now there's a big difference between this Kongo team and the one that's going to be on the card before this. And that is, you know, we've got Manabu Soya inserted here instead of Funaki, right? We got Manabu Soya. And again, who can't buy a win as of late. Not for the longest of times. And now Nakajima and Kenno are great. And I think Nakajima should be the ace of Noah. He should still be the GHC Heavyweight Champion. That's not how Noah's using him. It's not how he's being used or presented. I don't like it. I suspect most of you don't like it, but that's just a fact. And because they're teaming with the Enforcer, the guy who doesn't enforce anything other than losing all the time, I'm going with the Zagura Army. Dupree, El Hijo, Dr. Wagner Jr., and Sugi himself. And you guys know by now, if you listen to me even semi-regularly, what a big Kongo guy I am, and I don't like picking against them. But the Zagura Army is just a more solid team here than Kongo is, because Manabu Soya is there. And until Manabu Soya starts getting some big wins and change my mind, that's where we are. Sadly, because I don't like it. Here we are with another six-man match. We got Yoshinira Ogawa, Siki Yoshioka, and Yuya Susumu, who at this point could be the Triangle Gate, the Open the Triangle Gate six-man champions, if they can overcome Paris Del Mal the night before this. I predict that that match is going to end in a no contest. I really think that's what will happen. But if these guys win the championships here, they'll be represented, taking on Daisuke Harada, Hitoshi Kotogi, and Yohei, three of the best Noah Jr. regulars out of all of them. These are the stars of that unit. Absolutely, the Noah Jr. regulars, they're the leaders, Harada, Kotogi, and Yohei, not even questionable. So this will be lightning in a bottle. This will be solid. This will be great. Yes, I'm stammering around trying to think who I think is going to win it, but I can't ever pick against Stinger. As much as I like Kongo, I'm also a big Stinger fan. I am. Susumu and Yoshioka really showed me something as of late. Now they're going back with their crew, which I appreciate and respect. Ogawa is one of the best old men in all of professional wrestling. Love him or hate him, that is just a freaking fact. And again, against three of the aces of the junior, the ace, Daisuke Harada, in my opinion, Hitoshi Kotogi and Yohei right there behind him. And I'm picking Stinger because I just like him better. This will be great. Everything's going to be great. It's always great. Noah is great. And here we got the main event. Again, another preview match. We got a little break from those on the last show with Kojima taking on Manabu Soya. Here, we're back to the previews. Goji Ozaki teaming with Kaito Kiyomiya, Michael Elgin, and Masa Kitamiya against Satoshi Kojima and the EMS Alliance. Nomichi Marafuji, Masato Tanaka, and Masaki Mochizuki. And only because I predicted Kongo to pretty much take out the EMS Alliance, I am going to predict the EMS Alliance and Kojima get the win here. Even though Goji Ozaki needs the win to even up these preview matches 3-3. So that's a tough call. And he has Elgin and Kitamiya on his side. Elgin and Kitamiya and Kiyomiya. Oh God, I might have to flip back. I've only done that about 3 times in these 15, 16 podcasts. And I'm going to do it again here, guys. I'm sorry. I'm flipping back. I'm taking that prediction away and putting it on the other team. Goji Ozaki needs this to tie it up 3-3. I think that has to happen. And my God, the tag team champions are unbeatable, in my opinion, as a tag team. And Kiyomiya is just out of this world. I think there are guys on Kojima's side that are more pinnable, Tanaka, Mochizuki, than there are on Shiozaki side. Who's going to pin Shiozaki, Kiyomiya, Elgin, or Kitamiya? Unless you're looking at somebody you want to challenge for the tag championships. Then you have them pin one of the tag champions. I mean, Mochizuki and Tanaka, Marufuji and Mochizuki. I don't know. I've had no murmurings, heard no murmurings of these guys becoming a team in order to chase the titles. So who knows? But mainly because I believe if Shiozaki's team wins this match, Shiozaki's tied 3-3 with Kojima in these preview matches. That's why I picked this. But this is going to be fun. Going to be a blast. A little bit more guys out there in their likes. Not as bad as 5-5. But anytime you go above 3-3, I'm not real pleased with that decision. I love all these guys, so I get over it. It's nothing that ruins it. I just don't prefer it. I just don't. I'd rather have another match be added on here and make the show a little longer. But that's not what we're getting. We're getting an 8-man match. I predicted Shiozaki teams wins this. What an amazing team it is. And that's your preview for that show. That's your preview for Star Navigation on June 8th. So there we go, guys. It has been 37 minutes of me previewing Sunny Voyage from June 5th, Star Navigation June 7th, and Star Navigation June 8th. That will take us up easily to the next podcast release date, this podcast release date, which will be June 9th. The next show after that is the 12th. So, hold on here. That will take us up to the June 3rd. Oh, thank God. June 3rd, not 9th. June 2nd. Sorry, guys. I'm all over the place. I'm looking at my calendar, getting it wrong. June 2nd was when this podcast will drop. I just previewed shows that go all the way to the 8th. That is a Wednesday. And that means the podcast after this one will drop on the 9th. And the next show, the preview, is the 12th. So we will preview that before the 12th. Okay? Hopefully you followed along with all that. That is your preview section of three shows from Pro Wrestling NOAH upcoming. We have one more section of the show to go. That is the NOAH news that I bring you from Hisami's NOAH's Archive. We'll go over that and her link and everything in the next segment. Stick around, guys. I appreciate it. Hey guys, welcome to the NOAH News, the last segment of this week's podcast. As is typical, we wait to the end of the show to bring you all the weekly news, and we do that from NOAH's Archive, brought to us by the infamous, the well-known Hisami, the woman who's out there interpreting everything she can from Japanese into English. Hopefully my little readers aren't distracting to you. Never needed glasses my whole life until I hit 52 years old. And even these aren't prescription. They tell me, you're good. I guess you might need readers. Because sometimes small print is difficult for me to see. And I thought maybe it would help me read Hisami's page a little better to you. And then I also opine, give my thoughts on what I read. But as you see here, we're looking at the NOAH Weekly Newsletter, Volume 174, for the week of May 29th. Sometimes these podcasts hit in the middle of the news week. Sometimes like this, they hit right at the beginning. So this should be a good one. Let's check it out and see what Hisami tells us is going on in the world of pro wrestling NOAH this week. In memory of our Misawa, NOAH will hold a fan event on the anniversary of the death of Mitsuharu Misawa on the 13th of June. There will be no actual wrestling except for the Misawa matches that will be streamed, and four of his attendants, Naomichi Marufuji, Kotaro Suzuki, Ippai Ota, and Satoru Asako will come together to remember him. The event will feature two talks, an exhibition of photographs and Misawa's ring gear, the GHC heavyweight belt, merchandise, and photo and autograph opportunities. Please note, NOAH has not announced this will be televised, but no doubt we will get some footage on NOAH's official YouTube account. Return to the source. NOAH returns to Araki. Sorry guys, these words are new to me. I'm probably not going to pronounce them right. NOAH announced this week that on the 30th of October, they will be holding their first show at the Araki Arena. Araki Arena was built on the complex where the old home, Differ Araki, used to stand, and where NOAH had their dojo and offices from 2000 until 2016, when the site was sold and they relocated to Saitama. The area holds a lot of memories. It was here that generations from the veterans to the last generation at different at Differ, Kaito, Kiyomiya, and Junta Miyawaki grew up. It was where Misawa had his office, and there were those nights when Noah held shows at the Differ Araiki Arena and the Araiki Coliseum just over the road. Fans also remember fondly the curry. One memory of Differ, which probably isn't so innocent, was Takashi Segura walking around naked until someone working in the offices complained. I can only imagine what anyone driving past thought when they saw naked Sugi, the Wind Machine Challenge, and of course the infamous Misawa and the Noah Rangers. And there's a link if you go to Isami's page located at puroprogramtranslations.blogspot.com, always linked in the description of these videos. There's a link you can click on Misawa and the Noah Rangers if you don't know what that story is, which I don't, so I'll probably click on it myself later. The new Araiki Arena was built as part of an Olympic complex and can seat 15,000 people. Goji Ozaki has vowed he will return in October as the GHC heavyweight champion. And that's a ways out yet. Go says he's coming back, still a champion. We'll have to wait and see if that works out for him or not. Junta Miyawaki's send-off match. As he is leaving the train indefinitely in Mexico at Toryumon Kesa, gotta switch from pronouncing Japanese words to Spanish words. And that's what I couldn't recall when I was talking about this earlier. I said I couldn't recall where he was going. I did have it in my notes on the screen here. Couldn't find it. Toryumon Kesa. Junta Miyawaki will wrestle his last match before leaving at Club Sita on the 30th of June, which we have already gone over that matchup. His opponent will be his old friend and senior Kaito Kiyomiya. Kiyomiya and Miyawaki have known each other since they were teenagers. Miyawaki entering the Noah Dojo after a consultation with Kiyomiya. Kiyomiya was delighted to have him as his first junior. There has been a lot of misconceptions about what Miyawaki is going to do in Mexico, but basically, he's going to go out there to train at the facility run by Ultimo Dragon. As far as I know, he will not be appearing for any Mexican promotions. Well, that's interesting. Ultimo Dragon would help anybody tremendously, but if he's not going to get experience wrestling other wrestlers, that's a weird excursion. I mean, I'm not going to say it's not going to help him, but I've never heard of that. Maybe it's happened and I'm not aware, but I've never heard of a wrestler going on an excursion, going to another country and just training without getting in the ring and wrestling matches in front of crowds and working different style and types of opponents. If that is what's happening, I don't want to say I'm not a fan of it. You know, I find it odd. Elsewhere in Noah. Following on from Keno's Spicy Noodle Challenge, which is on YouTube if you haven't seen that, Kaito Kiyomiya took up the challenge with Chris Ridgway and Hayata. They're eating these, like, super, super spicy noodles that actually make them shed tears. Kiyomiya not to be outdone by Keno, who couldn't finish one and whom he imitated at the start of the video, ate the whole pot without drinking any water, despite the fact he was visibly shaken and sweating. Guys, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not just about wrestling. I know guys that are into this shit, you know, they go out there. Man, I'm getting some weird shadows on my nose here from these glasses and my ring light. I'm just now seeing that. I don't have anything on my face, guys. That's just the shadow of these stupid glasses. Anyhow, I'm not into eating hot, spicy things. I know some people see it as manly or whatever. I see it as kind of dumb, you know, to where you're eating food so spicy. Plus, it would give me heartburn to the point I could barely live with myself for days. I don't see the point of punishing yourself with, that's all you can taste. It's just spice. You can't taste the noodle. You can't taste the meat. You can't, whatever you're eating, you can't really taste it because all you taste is that ridiculous spice and it stays with you for hours or days. I guess it makes for some fun videos, but this isn't for me. Simon Gotch arrived for practice and tried one himself and said the pain was real. A photograph was taken of Gotch with Kiyomiya's knees and legs visible as he lay behind the ring in agony. Yoshiki Inamura said he tried the noodles and couldn't finish them either, and that Kiyomiya was insane. Keno gave a typical unimpressed reaction. Yeah, all that's crazy to me. Again, I guess it makes for good YouTube videos, something funny to watch, but I would never. I wouldn't even attempt it. I don't see the point. Noah have held an art competition for fans. That's interesting. Simon Gotch entered by parodying himself and Tadasuke swearing at each other as Spider-Man, and Yohei's picture of Hal as Rocket Slime from Dragon Quest. Not familiar with Dragon. I know what it is, but never watched Dragon Quest. gave rise to fan art of a tiny Hal in the form of Momotaro emerging from either a peach or a husk of rice. That's all Japanese stuff I don't get, but there it is. Old friend of Daisuke Harada, Billy Ken Kidd, dropped by Harada Meats in Osaka. Harada was there, paying a rare visit home. Billy Ken Kidd said he was shocked that Harada addressed his brother by his name, Akio, rather than the traditional Japanese older brother or younger brother. Know nothing about that either. Naomichi Marafuji will miss Club Sita event, which we already reviewed. He was replaced by Muhammad Yone. He missed the event due to issues with his knees that are causing pain. He can walk, but his ability to move, to flex them and move around is bad. Hisami notes here, I wonder how Junta Miyawaki will take his eventual return to Araiki when he eventually returns from training in Mexico. His seniors told him it was haunted. Junta Miyawaki, speaking of, has been warned by the Noah Jr. regulars that when he is in Mexico, he is not to get a tattoo. And I love that. Goji Ozaki also gave him some advice. Knowing that Miyawaki loves peppers, Ozaki told him he would love jalapeno. He also warned him to steer clear of Kenzo. See, I love the tattoo things. If you have a tattoo, God bless you. I don't care. You know, I'm not saying you're less of a person or anything like that. I hate the tattoos have turned into all the rage. You know, now even soccer moms and stuff get tattoos. And I don't get the appeal. Again, if you do and you love them, knock yourself out. Knock yourself out. I don't look down on you or anything like that. But I love that most, just about all Japanese wrestlers that I see don't have them. It's just, I admire much of the Japanese culture. I admire their morality. I admire their upstandingness, their commitment to honor. And I think I would fit well in Japan. I really do. Sure, there would be some things, or many things, where I'd be lost somewhere, needing much help to adapt to the culture. But they do many things, including much of the wrestling. Now, I know they got some horrible, hokey crap over there. Don't get me. DDT in and of itself, and I know they have worse. I know. But they do have a lot more honorable wrestling in Japan than I believe we have here in America. I just think I'd fit in. I just think it's cool, and I love the look. You know, I'll post pictures of Japan on my Facebook or and things like that. My personal one, not my wrestling one. I have two Facebooks. Don't send me a friend request on the personal one. No offense. If you want to hang out with me on Facebook, go to the Wrestling Snob page. All right, it's easy to find because the big banner is a picture of me with Noah on the screen behind me, the Mount Ararat cover. This is the news cover I have up now. But I post pictures of my family says, man, it almost looks scary or evil or so dark, and I'm like, oh, I don't know. I think it looks cool as hell, the buildings and stuff. It's just me, but I'm not eating any hot noodles. Yoshiki Inamura said that the neighborhood children have been peeking into the Noah dojo, curious about what goes on there. Some know about Noah, others do not, but Inamura wants to be an inspiration for those children to follow their dreams in life. Awesome. Bring those kids in, let them watch. Why not? It couldn't hurt anything. You might find a superstar down the road. I mean, look at World Wonder Ring Stardom. They train kids when they're 10, 11, 12 years old. And most of them turn out to be stars. Someone like Izumi, I mean, who grew up from a little girl. And now it's like she's like 19, 20 years old and an amazing wrestler because she starts training so young. So bring those kids in, Inamura. Bring them in. Okay, we're at the pretty much end of the news here for the most part. We're going to go over the current champions. The GHC heavyweight champion is Goji Ozaki. Of course, his next challenger is Satoshi Kojima on June 12th. The GHC junior champion is Hayata. There is no current challenger. The GHC Heavyweight Tag Team Champions are Masa Kitamiya and Michael Elgin. I love those guys. No current challenger. The GHC Junior Tag Team Champions are Stinger, Chris Ridgeway, and Yoshinori Ogawa. No current challenger, but I'm betting after these next shows that we just previewed, you'll see a challenger step up for some of these titles. Definitely, I believe, the Junior Tag. The GHC National Champion is Masakatsu Funaki. No current challenger, and he's been the one struggling the most to find a challenger. Nobody wants to challenge Funaki, and I don't blame them. This week in Noah's June schedule, Noah Sanctuary, Monday, May 30th. We already talked about that on the show. It was on Wrestle Universe, of course. Tuesday, the 31st of May, is Tashi Segura's birthday. Turns 52, my age. So December 5-6 months younger than me. Happy birthday, early birthday, Takashi Zagura. I'm sorry you're sitting around watching Mount Ararat podcast. So happy birthday, my friend. Sunny Voyage is on Sunday, June 5th. We have previewed that show here along with two others. She has some links posted here. June Akiyama, Great Jenner, whatever, at Full Throttle, Sermon to Noah's Marafuji, Katogi, and Inamura. You can click these links and read other things that Hisami Hizoroshi writes, a lot of things. Good. Keiji Muto interview immediately prior to returning on the 21st of May. She has posted on here. Book Corner. You can click on Don May. Don May, which is Mitsuhiro Misawa's diary. She has, I guess, excerpts from that posted here. But this, excerpts, not experts. This is the NOAA news for the week. Not a whole lot happening in NOAA news-wise. We're basically waiting on the Cyberfest, you know, waiting on the Cyber Fight Festival to come around. There are some shows, of course, we just previewed them, three of them, coming up before that starts. But that's really what we're not going to see any major developments. I don't think so. The Dragon Gate, Open the Triangle Gate titles are on the line in one of the upcoming shows that we previewed. But other than that, we don't have any major things bubbling, and I don't think we will. We may have some developments to get some challengers to these titles. And all these shows are worth watching if you're a NOAA fan. Why the hell wouldn't you? But just news-wise, there's not a lot happening because we're just in waiting for Cyberfest to start, pretty much. Get to see who the big mystery person is coming up in these NOAA shows. I predict possibly Rob Van Dam, because I would assume he'd get over there a little early, a little before Cyberfest. And we'll have to wait and see if that's the case. But that's the NOAA news for the week, guys. We had your review. We had three whopping previews. And we had Hisami's NOAA news. I thank you for joining me again. Please, guys, please subscribe. You got to create an account. I understand that. But if you have a Gmail, all you got to do is use that to log in. Just create a YouTube account with your Gmail. You're done. Anytime you log into your Gmail to check it, just go to YouTube. You're already logged in. Because really, the stats for these shows, mine and everybody's on here, don't really count if you're not logged in when you're watching. Please log in. Please subscribe. Please like and share. Look for me on Facebook. It is, let me pull that up real quick. Since this news was kind of short, I'm going to pull up NOAA Saves. The wrestling world. I'm going to pull it over here to this screen and give you a look at it real quick. Here we are. Pro Wrestling NOAA Saves the Wrestling World. See my cartoon picture there in the corner, and you can see, you know, Kenno, Katogi, Giozaki, and down there in the doorway of the arc is Nakajima, and there's myself up there up top in the red shirt, just waiting on everybody to get aboard the arc. But that's Pro Wrestling NOAA Saves the Wrestling World. I put all my links on here. If you follow me on Twitter, okay, let me show you that real quick. Follow me on Twitter here. Okay, I am NOAA is what I have as my name. It's actually at A. Lavelle to follow me. Then my display name is I am NOAA. Picture of my puppy. He's about 9 months old now, so not quite a puppy anymore. Cash. Follow me there, at A. Lavelle. I got all the links here. Okay, click on Wrestling Done Right. Load slowly. There we are. The Wrestling Done Right, the Pro Wrestling NOAA Network. You can see a little bit of description. All the links here. We've got my Twitter. We got Wrestle Universe. We've got Hisami's NOAA Archive linked here. We've got NOAA's English Twitter here. Mount Ararat Podcast. NOAA's English YouTube. And Mount Ararat Podcast Audio Only. That's at Anchor. Okay, if you want to check that out, click on that real quick. Anchor. anchor.fm/MTARARAT. And there's what you get, Mount Ararat. And you go down through here and just click play. Okay, and you can play these wherever. If you don't want to sit there and watch on YouTube, or you don't like YouTube or what have you, you can listen to all the podcasts here. But on YouTube, again, I'm not logged into my regular Facebook page right now, but that's that. Pro Wrestling NOAA Saves the Wrestling World. There's my Wrestling Done Right and all the links that I have on there. Alright. We are back to Twitter here, like I showed you. That's my profile. That's what it looks like. And finally, Most of you are probably, why is that not found? I don't, I'm going to have to fix that, I guess. For some reason, my YouTube link isn't working on my Twitter. I'm glad I found that out. There's my... Oh, we were already here. That's not... What the hell? None of my links are working in my... That's nice. How about TikTok? No, I don't know what's going on. None of my... I'm glad I did this here on the NOAA News to be embarrassed. But the only link that works is the Wrestling Done Right one. But I am on TikTok as well. Mount Ararat Podcast on TikTok. Check that out. Subscribe to me. Help me share everything pro wrestling NOAA. And I got to add my TikTok to Wrestling Done Right. But there's Wrestling Done Right. And you could up here, you can just faintly see it. In between Wrestling Done Right and the Pro Wrestling NOAA Network is Adam's bio. You can read, who am I? What have I done in the business? Why I do what I do? And just who I am, basically. Just a, it's pretty short. See me there with the one and only Larry Legend being interviewed on Ring of Honor TV. N3, I explain that. Just learn about me. Just a little bit about why I am who I am and why I do what I do and the experience that I have in pro wrestling. Because it is quite a few years and it is a number of professional wrestling organizations. All right? So again, thank you for joining me. This is Mount Ararat Podcast. Get these shadows off my nose as we sign off. We'll see you again next week. Oh, yeah. Higashi no sora ga hikari de somatta. Wow, wow. Hajimari wo tsugeru kane no nega. Kimi mo. の場所へ目の前の果てない海は自由で強い信念は風となるんだろう方を上げていざ行こう走って転んで希望で痛くてもがいて唸ってそれでも戦うのは馬鹿ため出会って守って誓って一人じゃ持てない力を知った息苦しい時代でも声なき声